RadioInfluence.com.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's the Babe Cast. Did you think I went away? I didn't know. Listen, I have to tell you. You know, I should just stay home because when I do things, I always get in some kind of trouble. So I have to go to Jerry's wedding. Now, I don't want to say anything, but he and Melissa have been living together for 10 years. I'm like, can't you just go to the, you know, just elope? He said, I can't elope. My mother will kill me. I'm like, Jerry, at some point you got to stand up and go, I can just elope. So we have to go to this damn wedding. Well, they sent us to Safety Harbor, which is just fabulous anyway. So we go out there, and I don't want to say anything, but I actually had a skirt on. I got to tell you, I don't think I ever had a skirt on. And since I live here, it's been 15 years since I ever wore anything but. But here I am. I'm going to this thing. Roller Girl is there. Booger's on the other side of me, so at least we're having a good time. And I look, and he's like the patron saint up there. Rich Herrera is going to do the, I'm looking, don't they have a minister? Oh, no, he's a justice of the peace. Now, you know he went and got this thing online. You know, and I, not for nothing, but like, none of the people I know really get married. You know, I mean, like, at this point, we're like over it completely. But we had to do this. Well, I don't want to say anything. I'm going there. Melissa is absolutely gorgeous. Jerry comes out. They're all wearing these tuxedos. And I'm like, oh, my God. And there's all these, like, and Jerry has got this towel in his hand. He's like Louis Armstrong. He's going, he is patting himself like a crazy person. And I'm thinking, what is the name of that song? And they all do the things. And, well, anyway, he's like Louis Armstrong the whole time. And the mother's going, are you going to take that towel everywhere? Yes. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting away from here. Okay, and so I'm going to sit, and of course I'm sitting in the back, you know, let's admit it, you know, if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm sitting in the back because I don't want to see anybody. I just want to see what's going on. So I'm doing this, and they're doing it, and they're really good, and, you know, he didn't stumble or anything, and I got Rich Herrera, like, doing, like, side things over here, and he starts crying because there's not a day in sight when that man doesn't start crying about something, and I'm sitting in the back with Booger going, I'm going to kill him. You know, and we're in the back going, stop it, because you know he's going to start crying in the middle of this. And then, after this is all done, and it's very exciting, I look in the behind me, somebody had one of those little scooter things. And I'm like, well, this is great. So after the wedding, I go around, I start looking at the scooter, and I'm like tapping on it, and I'm tapping on it, and I just get ready to, and this woman comes over and goes, get out of the way, that's for my mother. I guess I'm not going to be riding on this thing very soon. And so I had to get out of the way. It's for your mom and all that. And everybody was looking at me because they know that I would have taken that for a ride, and they didn't care. All right, so I go and do the, and then we go inside, and we have this lovely appetizer thingy, Bob. And I'm like, where is Jerry? And they go, he's outside with the damn dog. And I'm going out there, and it's starting to rain, okay? But they're still out there, and they're taking millions and millions. And why do you have two people? Why did you have two people there? Did you ever, Jerry, do you know why? No, you're not going to tell me anything. So for some reason, they had two people. I don't know what they were going to see or not see, but that was all right. And they're out there in the rain taking pictures with the damn dog. And the Jerry's got the dog, and Melissa's got the dog, the mother's got the dog. I don't know. They're all sitting there. Everybody's got the dog that's going on. So everybody was extremely happy. I have to tell you, then we went in and had dinner. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. And they all, you know, the father was dancing around with Melissa, and then you had your mom, and you were dancing around like that, and it was quite lovely. It really was. But they somehow put Booger over there instead of all of us who all worked together were all sitting in the same place. So they knew you had to keep an eye on the people at nine, you know, at number nine, whatever was going on. And you had people there from when you were real. Jerry used to call me at ESPN. He was 14 years old, and I used to hang up on him all the time. Who would have known we would have still been doing this all these years later? But we certainly are. That was my wedding. Guess what? I have another wedding. I haven't been to a wedding in 20 years. And by the way, we have good things coming up. Christine Brennan is going to join us. We got to talk to him about stupid, and I do mean stupid, Curt Schilling. Stop already. It's 2016. What are you saying in the world? They finally fired him. Ugh, more of that stuff coming up. Christine Brennan, USA Today, you're there. I loved it. And first of all, I just want to say, did you really write something at 3:31 in the morning about Curt Schilling getting fired?
No, no, that, I don't know what happened, but no, I wrote a column that was posted at 6 p.m.
Oh.
Then I actually went to George Will's baseball party, which is fabulous, where you run into Donald Rumsfeld over the brie, and Senator Susan Collins, one of the greats of all time, and Wolf Blitzer, and all sorts of pals, Tom Boswell, Mike Wise, and just a great, great, I took my niece, she was 23, we had a great time, and lots of wonderful, fun people, Gloria Borger, and everyone, just fun. Anyway,
well,
then,
first of all, let me just tell you, Wolf Blitzer just called, what did he say, Prince, who was good for Purple Haze, is that what he said, to call him for Purple Rain? He just said that on TV today.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm a big, I mean, Prince, okay, and then we'll go back to what we're talking about, but Prince, turns out he's a couple of weeks old, younger than I am. I didn't realize. And he is as into purple, he was as into purple as I am as a Northwestern person. So there you go. So anyway, then I came to home because then I got word from my editors that they fired Schilling. So I came home, got home about 9, and wrote, and the column was posted again by 11 p.m. So I don't know what editors were doing what with the
I saw it at 3 o'clock, and I said, boy, are you up doing that stuff for them or anything? Let's talk about this because I have to tell you, we're in 2016. You go back 20 years, none of this would have been a problem, would it?
Well, exactly, because there was no internet, or 30 years, no internet. So a guy like Curt Schilling, with the opinions he had, as I wrote in the column, babe, you know, would have been ranting over a cereal bowl at the breakfast table, and his only audience would have been, you know, his family. Mm-hmm. And then lucky for them, they could get up and leave and go to work or school, and you know, and then that was it. And I think probably for Curt Schilling, that would have been a better option. Because we have the internet now, and obviously I'm a big fan of the internet, but I'm not a big fan of every part of the internet and its ability in social media. And everyone wants to give their opinion to everyone. And everyone's opinion is available nonstop everywhere. And that is ridiculous. It is just ridiculous. It's a waste of everyone's time. If you look at my Twitter feed, at C. Brennan Sports, you'll see I tweet only when I'm at events or when I've got something to tweet, i.e. Radio, TV appearance or a column. That's it. I use it as a bulletin board, basically. Otherwise, I can be off Twitter for a week. I look at it every now and then for my news feed because of the way I have it set up with CNN and ABC and whatever. But this is absurd. So what Curt Schilling fell into is what a lot of people fall into, which is that they just want to give their opinion and say things all the time. And part of being a journalist is to censor yourself. Everyone's screaming First Amendment, freedom of speech, all his apologists. That's ridiculous. I censor myself dozens of times a day. I will censor myself probably 10 times on this interview. I will not say everything I know. I will be careful to not talk about the presidential election because that's not why you have me on.
But
I have plenty of opinions, but I will keep those to myself about Trump and Clinton and whatever. That's what we do. And Schilling never seemed to learn the first lesson about professionalism, and that's really what got him fired.
You know, one of the things, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but don't they have a trans woman who runs the website at ESPN?
That's what I read somewhere. I do not know this, but I read someone
I think so.
Baseball who is. Yeah.
And I thought to myself, first of all, if you're going to work there and you've been there for a while, you certainly might have known what was going on there. So wouldn't you say that's not something to say there to begin with, let alone you might have said it 20 years ago, but the fact that the woman who's the editor of the website happens to be a trans woman, you would think, but it like doesn't flow over because we're in a very different place today than we were 20 years ago. And maybe he could have gotten away with that. But it's like, and as you said before, I mean, they should bury Clinton under jail and they should do this. And it's like, fine if that's what you think. But don't you realize that you're working for someone at some point?
Right.
Somebody's paying you.
Right. The employer has rules. And anyone listening to us right now, babe, anyone who's listening to us, if they're driving to work or from work, or if they have a job, think for a moment. If they're outraged about Curt Schilling because he lost his freedom of speech, would they just blab at the top of their lungs on any topic, and by the way, pick the most controversial, could they get away with saying that the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, Hillary Clinton, should be buried under a jail, which is, I think would mean you would not be alive?
Yeah.
A person who gets Secret Service protection every minute of every day, as a public figure that is beyond irresponsible to say that publicly. If I said that about Clinton or Trump or Cruz or you or Sanders, you name it, I would expect USA Today to terminate me. I would expect ABC News to terminate my relationship with them, and I would, my contract with USA Today and ABC and with CNN. I would expect that. Or if I did two or three of these things, I would expect that myself. If I was saying things that were more liberal than conservative or liberal, whatever it might be, I personally would expect that. These are the demands that are put on us, and everyone who has a job knows they can't just go willy-nilly into the breakfast room at work and start espousing their political values and expect their boss not to come over and say, you're here to sell insurance. We want you to sell insurance. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hear what you think about the New York primary. And that is the mistake that Schilling made over and over again, daring his employer to fire him, which they did as any employer would. It has nothing to do with freedom of speech, nothing to do with the First Amendment.
Well, you know, and one of the things is you kind of like the first thing that happened. And then when he does these things and you go, we don't know whether or not he was, you know, whatever ESPN did or didn't do. But it was just the point that you continued to see these things and you thought to yourself, are they just going to let it happen or is it just going to go on? But they obviously said, see ya. But as I said before, can you do that since I'm, hang on a minute. We're not going anywhere, Christy. Could you look and see about that since you're not doing anything as the producer of my show and Christine's on the radio program with me? See if she's the editor of that, of the website. Hi, Christine, we're back again. I just thought it would maybe be good if I gave him something to do while I'm doing
there
this stupid
go.
Show. I'm like, you're sitting there like playing with yourself on the on your computer, so he's not paying any attention. I said, could you go see, because I believe that that the trans woman is there. So I thought that that might have something to do. But it was interesting because you said ESPN considers himself an exclusive company. And I just started laughing when I saw it. And I thought, well, that's not really true, is it? I mean, they include themselves as inclusive, I should say, to all of this company. And I thought, well, that wasn't so sure 20 years ago. I could figure that. But if you do have that feeling now and that's what you feel, at some point you go, how does this go on over and over? And he might be the one, but there could be other people that they could say that about it. Anyone, really.
Well, again, you know, when you think about what Schilling did, babe, you know, where he started, it was last year on Twitter with a graphic, a meme about how extremists, Muslim extremists, quote unquote, and comparing them and a parallel to Nazi Germany. And so there was that. So Muslims equal Nazis. So that was pretty bad. And he was suspended for that one at the end of in the playoffs. Then he came back and he said the thing that Clinton should be buried under a jail somewhere. And ESPN said it was addressing it, but never mentioned punishment. And if he was punished, that remains a secret. And that's just appalling to me that did not require punishment or, I mean, that's, again, you're saying basically, do you want one of our, in this case, the Democratic frontrunner and probably the Democratic nominee dead? I mean, that's what that is, buried under a jail somewhere. I don't know how else to.
Well, dead, that's it. Dead.
You're buried under a jail. There's only one thing you can be there. And of course, the point was about he wants Clinton in jail. Well, again, that's very different to say that. So then, and then the one that just finally did it, finally the Lifetime Achievement Award was earned over the one where he was talking about the transgender people, sharing a bizarre photo on Facebook, and basically a tirade against access to public facilities for transgender people. So that's what did it. But basically, again, no one would survive these. And it has nothing, as I said, the amount of, I have a lot of opinions about politics, about life. I've never shared them publicly and never will. I have too much respect for my readers, for the listeners, for the viewers when I do TV. I'm not, when I'm on CNN to talk about Will Smith dying in New Orleans or whatever I'm on for, I'm not going to segue and say, hey, now about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I would never do that. I would never do that. I respect every part of what I'm doing, including the viewership, including the leaders of CNN, including my time and what I'm asked to do as an expert. And Schilling was a baseball expert, and he should be giving his opinion on people's sliders and changeup.
Right.
And that's what he was there for. And your social media is so attached to you that then you are known for that. And that's the big error he made. And it's just stunning to me that he was that dumb that he didn't realize it.
You know, and I wonder sometimes that when you do it and you wonder if you're at a spot where nobody's going to do anything. And I wonder, do you do that to see if they do anything, or are you just that stupid and that's what you say? And by the way, it's Christina Carl, who is the editor of the website for ESPN, who's a trans woman. So I'm not saying anything, yeah. But could you please just notice that that's the website? Would you not have said, man, that's probably not a good thing to say, you know?
Well, again, yes. I mean, because the whole hope is that's the point of diversity in our society, is that you work with people who don't look like you, who are mm-hmm. not exactly like you, and you learn from them and you get to be better because of it. I know that's what every newsroom strives for. That's why you want to have a wonderful mix of all kinds of races and religions and people, gender, male, female, at a university. You want to have that at a high school level if you can. You certainly want that in the workplace. That's the point. Our country is changing. It is fantastic. It is strong. It's superb. Best country, greatest country on earth. And part of it is the diversity that makes it so great. And we want to keep fostering that. And again, obviously, Schilling didn't get that memo. It's just plain and simple. He just blew right by, you know, the stop sign was up at third base. He blew right by it and paid no attention whatsoever to the things that actually make this country so great.
You know, I wonder sometimes when you see it. I mean, I can just see something that happened here not that long ago, just in like radio or things, or other people that they do things and you're so surprised. And then you wonder, are they just that oblivious to anything else? Or are they waiting to see if they're going to fire them, to see if they can get this done? And nobody's, you know what I mean? I don't know if they're trying to get something done, or they're just way beyond what's going on right now. They just don't even understand that it talks about you, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know Curt Schilling. This has been his MO. He would, as a Red Sox, he would go on in interviews and then talk about supporting George W. Bush, which is fine. That is every bit his right to do that. And obviously the Red Sox or the radio station didn't mind. I don't need to hear from a baseball player who you're supporting.
Right.
Anyone, if someone's supporting Clinton, Trump, Cruz, Sanders, it doesn't matter to me. I know what I want to do when I vote. I vote in Ohio.
Right.
As a resident of Ohio as well, or it's my main residence, and I'm in D.C., of course, too. But, you know, I don't want to hear it. But that one, that's different because his employer, the Red Sox, I guess, didn't care. ESPN has standards.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you have standards. Every organization does. And an employer, I think we all want this in our country, has the ability to hire and fire people. All of these people are so upset and all mad about my column and whatever. Do they really just, who's going to make the decision then to hire and fire if it's not the owner of the company? And do you really want to go that route? I mean, that sounds like anarchy, and it certainly doesn't sound like capitalism or a more conservative value about a company. I would think that conservatives would want owners to be able to do what they want with their companies, and that's what ESPN did.
What do you got going on? Are you going to the Olympics? What are you going to do with that? Now, I mean, you know, the Rio Olympics I hear about, and nobody wants to go there because they're all going to die, not from Zika, but from the water is so horrible. What do you hear from all of that? I mean, you're waiting to go, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, this will be my 17th Olympics in a row, winter and summer, going back to L.A. in 84. And so I'm very excited. I always am excited. This one has an amazing amount of news coming out of it, and that's not good, babe, when you consider the water quality, how bad that is, whether they'll be ready in time or not. Of course, the Zika virus. You've got political upheaval, the likes of which I don't think we've ever seen. Maybe Seoul and North Korea, mm-hmm. South and North Korea, they're concerned back in 88 before the Seoul Olympics there. There was talk that North Korea might literally open the floodgates and have the rivers come down and flood Seoul. That never happened. But that was one of the North Koreans' really cool strategic ploys that thankfully they did not do, and I'm not sure if they could have done it. Anyway, North Korea being North Korea. But anyway, but this Brazilian thing with the president and the impeachment and the complete chaos in government, that is unusual, moving into an Olympics. You've got all that, and then, of course, you always have a threat of terrorism. So, yes, lots and lots could be on the table. It may well be that I'm not writing much about sports and I'm doing more about news. Mm-hmm. I certainly hope that's not the case, but I'm prepared either way. And again, Sochi, we're going to Sochi back in 2014, and those Black Widows women's terrorists were supposedly wandering around with bombs strapped to themselves, mm-hmm. and thankfully that never happened. Nothing bad happened there. Athens in 2004, right at the first summer games after 9/11, was a home game for the terrorists. Again, thank goodness, nothing happened. So let's hope that Brazil, that Rio, it's the same thing, that we have the concerns and the worries going in and it works out okay when we're actually there.
You're not writing any books. Every time I turn around, there's another skating book coming out of you.
No. Oh, no. Well, I mean, I love dropping into skating. I was up in Boston at the World Figure Skating Championships a couple of weeks ago, halfway between Sochi and Pyeongchang. Next Winter Games will be in South Korea in 2018. We're actually closer to that than we were to Sochi because of the way the off-year Olympics work. And so I did drop in for a few days, and I love it. But no, there'll be controversies in South Korea in 2018. I'll be all over them. Watch for Ashley Wagner. She's the one that spoke out against Putin's anti-gay law. A real tough cookie. Will be 25 in May, which is the age most women in figure skating have long since retired. Mm-hmm. And she is skating her best. Won the silver medal at the world. First woman to win any medal at the Worlds or Olympics, U.S. woman in 10 years. Ashley Wagner, who has the guts to take on Putin. Talk about the opposite of showing a profile and courage mm-hmm. as an athlete, not a journalist, obviously. Say what she wants anytime, unlike someone like Schilling, who was employed by someone, but also just speaking out for equal rights. That's what she did in Sochi. She did it in Russia, which was amazing. And now here she is 2 years later, and she wins the world silver medal. So she could be a force, and that's unbelievable at a ripe old age when Tara Lipinski had been gone for 10 years already by the time she turned 25. And here's Ashley Wagner at her best. So if anyone wants to watch skating, watch Ashley Wagner.
Christine, I have to tell you this. I sleep late. For people who don't know, I'm up until like 3 o'clock. I sleep late. For some reason, I'm up at 7 o'clock this morning. I don't know why. I got a cup of coffee and I turn on TV. And I'm playing with my TV, and what comes on is In Living Color. I haven't seen that in 20 years. Well, darned if it's not Tonya Harding at the very beginning, slugging everybody with the thing. I mean, it was obviously from the 90s. I mean, it was a long time ago. But I started laughing because she was slugging everybody that would come in. She'd beat them up with a club or whatever it was and beating up the other one. And I thought, that has really been over 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's changed my life. I bow once a day towards Portland, Oregon. I say thank you, Tonya, wherever you are. Because if that doesn't, obviously it was an attack on Nancy Kerrigan, but it turned out to be a bruised knee that spurred Nancy onto the greatest performance of her life.
Yes.
The TV ratings went through the roof. Sixth highest rated show in television history, not sports show. When they short program in Lillehammer in February of 94. Last MASH, Who Shot JR, one episode of Ruth, two Super Bowls, and Nancy Tonya. And because of that, Scribner wanted a book. I wrote Inside Edge. It became a bestseller. It's one of the top 100 books of all time by Sports Illustrated. They ranked it, and it literally changed my life. I left the Washington Post and was able to go off on my own to do all the things I'm doing now. So thank you, Tonya, wherever you are.
You know, you can or cannot. The last time I talked to you, the reason I'm going this way is that Jackie McMullen and I had a conversation, and I said, you know, I talked with Christine way at the beginning of the show, and I had asked her about Trump, and it was just starting, and she said she grew up in like a Republican household, and I was kind of talking about that. And she said, well, I grew up in Boston. I said, well, I grew up in Boston, and they're all Democrats from that way. But we were just talking about the difference, and we didn't really go that much, but it's been a long time since we've had that, and it's very different today. And I thought it was really interesting when you said you grew up in a Republican household and that your parents were, and that's what you had, and you saw it completely different. But that was right after the time he decided I'm going to run for president, and now we're sitting here in May, and it's more bizarre than we really thought it was going to be.
You're about Donald Trump.
How did this happen? And I guess it's good that it happened in some way, but I remember you saying about how different it was when you were growing up, and those, because I grew up in more of a more democratic society. Because I was
right. Oh no, definitely. And I'm happy to talk about my father. These are just facts, not giving opinions. A la the Curt Schilling thing we were just talking about. But yeah, I mean, my dad was Bush's vice chair in Ohio in '88, George Herbert Walker Bush, mm-hmm. and my mom and dad gave to Planned Parenthood for 50 years as Rock River Republicans. Mm-hmm. They were liberal Rockefeller, Charles Percy, Mac Mathias, like a Republican, Gerald Ford Republican. Gerald Ford was the last pro-choice Republican president. And I know most people are like, what, Republicans, pro-choice, Planned Parenthood? Absolutely. My mom and dad could not have been more supportive, and our family all has been. And so that's where I grew up. So my dad passed away in 2003, and he was Republican Party chairman in Lucas County, which is Toledo, and we had he was a pal of George Herbert Walker Bush's, who I haven't seen him in a while, always wanted to talk about my dad even after he died. And Bob Dole and John Conley and all these other people went to our home, or, you know, I met them all through my dad. And anyway, but dad was cremated in 2003, and I've laughed because he had a great sense of humor. It's a good thing he was cremated, because if he were in a casket right now, oh my God, he would be spinning so quickly. But he did call this. He said that he was concerned at how the purity of whoever that didn't necessarily want to win, they'd rather be pure. And my dad wanted to win for the Republican Party. And so, again, just giving you the true story of my dad, he would have been very, very surprised, and I think very disappointed at what's going on as one of the great Republicans that I've ever met, the greatest Republican I've ever met. My father would not have recognized this Republican Party, unfortunately.
We love Christine. We love what's going on with Curt Schilling. I mean, come on already. And I don't want to say anything, but I knew I was right about that, about Christine Carl being a trans woman that runs the website there. I'm not that stupid. Well, I am kind of stupid now, as we all know. What do I have? Somebody asked me, are you ever going to be 100%? And I said, well, no, not after my unfortunate medical incident. But I'm about, what, 75 or 80, would you say? That's about right. I don't, you know. Let's not kid ourselves about what happened here. All right, I have a million things to do. Oh, am I going to tell you about the wedding? Oh, let me just tell you about this one. So somebody says to me, sends me a text, and says, you know, my friend is going to go up there, and I think it would be better if you went, because you're better at driving, and she doesn't really see that well at night and all that stuff. Why the hell I did this, I don't know. I could have just stayed there, been with the dog. I would have been fine. No, we can't. Somehow, I end up going to Redneck, Georgia. Now, not for nothing, but if I just looked at the dog and said, I could have been here for 3 or 4 days, the dog and I would have been fine. Nobody would have bothered me. It would have been fine. No, I got to go so far away. And we take off. We're supposed to leave. I'm up at like 9 o'clock. I said, I just got out of the shower. And they said, well, I'm going to be awake. So do you want to go now? And I'm like, okay, well, meet me at 10. All right, I meet you at 10. I go pick them up at the 10. Nobody's ready until 12 o'clock at night. We're going somewhere at 12 o'clock at night. I'm going, I have to go to Valdosta, Georgia. It's not anywhere near Valdosta, Georgia. And if you've never gone, pretty much Georgia is about 18, 19, 25 hours long. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, if you go, forget it. Georgia is so long, it's unbelievable. So I go to Valdosta. They call me at 11. I'm there at 4 o'clock in the morning at 11. They go, are you ever getting out? Yeah, okay. Then I have to drive, and it's not Atlanta, as they tell me. It's not Atlanta. It's way the fuck up there, 2 hours on the other side of Atlanta, where you have to go over a mountain. Now, you know, I live at the beach. Let's get serious. You know, it's really nice to see, but I have no desire to go up there. And they're all a bunch of rednecks in Georgia. And they're like these really nice people that are there, and it's not a redneck place. It's a redneck place where you spend a lot of money, and they have these big cottages that are up there, and you get these big, and you're, well, there's just people everywhere. But where am I? No, I don't get to go anywhere. I get to go because everybody's family's there, but I have to take care of the goddamn dog. I am like Rapunzel. I am inside the damn room inside there with the damn dog, who only spends the whole day looking out the window. And they said, well, didn't you go see him in the back? Well, no, because we've already slipped this in. We already got him an Amazon thing that makes it look like he's like a, he's not disabled. What is, I'm disabled. Is that what it is? You know, you put that red thing on him and he's, a, yeah, well, I got one of those things from Amazon. Well, and the woman said to me, oh, unless he's a special dog. And I said, oh, he is a special dog. What am I, lying like crazy? And I'm thinking, I don't even have anything to do with this. I'm not even paying for it. Somebody else is paying for it. Well, I spent the entire time with the damn dog. I watched more TV, and I got to tell you, I was so exhausted. I left Valdosta. By the time we got to the other place, it took like 13 hours. It would have taken like 25 from here. It was unbelievable. These, you know, this reminds, when I was in college back in the day, we would think nothing of leaving on a Friday at noon and driving 24 hours to New York. And then we would go to the to Greenwich Village and run around there. And then we'd hop on the car and drive us back to get in to show up for something on Monday morning. And now I can't even go to Georgia. I don't want to go to Georgia. Anyway, listen, between the dog, why will I will never do anything. I'm staying at home with the dog. By the way, it's not even my dog. I'll have to tell you about the opera the next time. It's just irritating the daylights out of me. Two weddings? I'm not going to two weddings for the next 50 years. I am the fabulous sports babe.
If you know the babe at all, you'll know the show never ends.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.